people, we're dealing with two anachronisms now, Zambezi and young Obama. Wally, Nate, I want you guys to go talk some sense into Admire.
You mean convince her to stand down while her village and family is torn apart?
What if I use my temporal simulator to find some loophole that Amaya can use to help save Zambezi?
All right, do it. The rest of us, we're on Obamacare.
You will not escape. Grodd will complete his mission. Time to make America Grodd again.
Clearly you have some grievances. But perhaps we can look for a common ground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Struggle Session. I'm your host, Jack Allison. Today, I'm flying solo as far as the, you know, regular hosts of the show. I'm beginning, what might be a regular series, diving into the Arrowverse, the CW shared universe group of TV shows that all sort of sprung up around Arrow. I've started to watch them, you know, recently. I've gotten, you know, decently into them. I think the only one we might not watch is Arrow. Because, you know, despite it being sort of the namesake of the entire universe, it's maybe the most boring and bad of the shows. But today I wanted to first talk about what is... Frankly, I'm like, I think it's kind of like a throwback in how sort of like goofy and weird it is. Today we're going to talk about Legends of Tomorrow, and I'm joined by a couple of great guests and passionate Legends and Arrowverse fans. Lenny Burnham, who is a foremost Legends expert, and Jack Bills, who has for years been banging the drum of that we need to talk about the Arrowverse on Struggle Session. And frankly, you know, without Jack's push, I don't know that I ever would have finally watched the Arrowverse. And so, you know, I'm sort of glad. I'm glad a little bit that, you know, that happened.
I'm not here to gloat. I'm not here to say I told you so.
Sure.
I will say, yes, Jack very adamantly seemed to despise the Arrowverse up to this point. I don't know about despise, but
we'll get into it, but I'll admit that, you know, there is stuff about the Arrowverse that it looks corny when you first look at it.
Yes, no, and I'm with
but
you.
When you 100%. Sort of dive into the whole of it, there's like, you know, an appealingness to the corniness. It kind of appeals and it's intentional or something.
The show we're talking about today is the last show I thought you would have gotten into, to be totally honest. I would have never shown you this other than the Barack Obama Gorilla Grodd.
Let's talk about it then. So Legends of Tomorrow is basically a spinoff show of The Flash, more or less.
So we could even go back further, really.
Right. So it all started with Arrow, which was basically like a Batmanification of Green Arrow.
It was essentially Chris Nolan Green Arrow show, TV show. Yeah.
And it was also like not very comic booky.
Right.
Like that show, like really, especially in its first season, was like trying to sort of like hide its comic bookiness and really wanted to be like a serious, cool show.
It was very much Dark Knight, the TV show. Like everything, even like their version of Black Canary is like their Rachel Dawes. It's pretty much like a one for one with the Chris Nolan aesthetic. Yeah.
Interesting.
And
I haven't watched it. I think I watched the first season of it because I was like really trying to be like, I'm going to watch the Arrowverse and I'm going to watch it in order. But to be honest with you, I think that the Arrow show is pretty boring.
Yeah.
And
I
once
agree.
The Flash showed up, I was like, I want to watch the Flash show. And then the Flash show is like so much better.
So
frankly,
I'm a big comic book person. I consider myself a DC fan, but I'm really just a Flash fan. Like I've had a Flash comic. So that's my guy. So
I like Flash. I like Flash a lot.
I did not. This is actually breaking news. I did not watch season one of The Flash because Barry was not blonde. I said the whole time. I was like, kid's too young. It also, I really didn't like the New 52 and when they were came out with Flash. Because Arrow, I also didn't watch because I wanted Justin Hartley from Smallville to be the Green Arrow.
So you're too much of a DC fan to have enjoyed this. That's actually kind of how I feel too. Is that I was like, I'm like too much a fan of DC that I'm like, you know, the tone of this is like wrong. I don't want it this way or whatever. I want it to be like the Batman, the Tim, you know, the Tim Bruce Tim shit or whatever.
But what helps me is keeping in mind that we have J.J. Abrams Star Trek, the DC universe.
I know. I know.
Reverse Flash and also like, has created this whole separate timeline. That is the CW verse. And it appears that before in the original timeline that we see in season one, I'm getting a little too, I want to kick my own ass right now.
Sure.
But,
well, we won't go too deep into it, but go ahead, please.
So we see that original timeline before Barry's mom is murdered.
Right.
It looks like just the regular comic books. And then everything, once he does that, that's the Arrowverse. And then that's why all these things are different in Arrow, even though it predates The Flash. The events happen after that. So
it's because of what The Flash did back then in Flashpoint, of course.
Yeah, and every time he changes the timeline, our world gets a little more comic booky, which is something you'll find as things keep going.
Yes. So the show we're talking about today, though, is so Arrow was a spinoff, or, you know, Flash was a spinoff of Arrow.
Yes.
And then this show, Legends of Tomorrow, was a bizarre spinoff.
Yes.
Of Flash, which, you know, it's such an odd show because it's even the name of the show is DC's Legends of Tomorrow, which is such a strange name, even to begin with.
So this became I watched this all happen live, like I was watching week by week. When they announced a spinoff from Flash, it was originally going to be like, we're going to do a Hawkman show. We're going to do the Hawks.
Right.
And then they were like a month later, they're like, oh, wait, no, it's going to be an Adam spinoff. And then I think, this is my opinion, they just were like, fuck it, let's just throw them all together and like do Rip Hunt. Because it's a weird, because if you're like, oh, what's the next DC TV show?
Legends of Tomorrow is a really odd choice.
It's an odd choice. Yeah, you would have thought, I think like this.
It also feels like it's maybe just a team. If they were like, we want to do a team show.
Justice Society,
what's a team
I think
that's
was
available?
One idea for it.
I watched Arrow a little bit pretty casually, and then I really got into it when they announced The Flash because I knew Grant Gustin from Glee.
Which there is a lot of Glee stuff in that, like,
I was a really, really big Grant Gustin fan from his like five episodes of Glee, so I was like, oh my god, he has like a show he's going to star in, so I can stop watching these same episodes of Glee over and over. So that was when I became like a big loyalist to DC, like watching it every week.
You see, I love to hear that because we in the DC, in DC fans, we need all the new people we can get. Like it really was like dying for a while there. And so like hearing the journey of being like, I was watching Glee and then I became a hardcore DC fan. Like, you know, at one time, maybe I would have gatekept about that, but now I'm like, I just like that people like the fucking Flash, honestly.
So I watched Legends from the beginning because I was so into the Flash and Arrow by that point. And it like very quickly became my favorite of those shows because I think it does a much better job of like sucking you in and having really exciting characters right away. So that really became the one I was like looking forward to every week of all of them.
I guess I feel like it's the best just like straight up superhero show
totally
of all these shows.
Yeah,
like, you know, Arrow kind of like doesn't quite hit the mark, but Flash is just like straight up like, it might even be like maybe the best superhero show made if you don't count animated stuff where it gets a little bit
harder. I have a theory
or
about why this is too. I think
why
a
is
lot
that?
Of it is that the Flash actually has like stories to adapt and he has like interesting comics, whereas like there's not the same for, I mean, Arrow
I
has some of that, but they
Arrow
really
like
touch.
Speedy got addicted to
heroin. Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Kind of about it.
But like, you know? Have like these great Flash storylines that don't even need to be changed. Like, and like,
right.
I have a feeling they're even going to probably reuse like him going back in time and striking himself and all that stuff. Like, so they have like these great stories they can tell with Flash, like that they've done great jobs adapting, like Flashpoint or Trial Barry Allen. And things like that. Whereas like Supergirl doesn't really have, like her comics are actually like really bizarre and like weird.
Supergirl like, comics are strange.
Yeah.
Like in Supergirl comics, there's a whole run where she's like a shape shifting alien and not even like from Krypton.
Right.
It's very weird. But anyway, so Legends is this show that is this kind of mishmash of these other three pilots that they're trying.
Yes.
And it just becomes this really bizarre, like, time travel show.
Yes.
With superheroes. That's kind of, you know, in a very appealing way, kind of like a Mission of the Week kind of
thing. Right. The other element to it, I think, also is that these guys were originally going to make, like Berlanti, they were originally going to make the Booster Gold movie. And
oh,
I
really?
Kind of
okay.
think that they like oh, found replaced like Booster Gold with like a team and they just like reused all the Rip Hunters because it is kind of just like the Booster Gold story. Like
yeah,
the loser
just like
who's
going, through, going around fixing time or
yeah,
whatever.
And like the whole element of like being a loser that the future can't know you're an actual hero and like they have to remember you as like a D-list character or else the timeline is screwed. Like
right.
that's all
yes,
from Booster
that's
Gold.
All like
yeah.
the Booster Gold stuff. Yeah. yeah. Something that I do find really appealing about the Arrowverse in general is, you know, that it's kind of like it is kind of like the new version of the DC universe that is like doing a shared story. I'm like, I've tried yes. all of them. Like I've read the comics and I'm like, they're not that good right now. Like I even tried watching all the new animated, like there was the like new 52 animated movies or whatever.
Yeah,
and they are bad too.
Yeah. I didn't get into those at all.
So Lenny, you're an expert on Legends, right? Is that, I was told that you were the foremost expert on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I've definitely seen, I think I've seen like seasons 4 and 5 only like a couple times.
Wow.
But the previous seasons I've definitely watched many
wow.
times.
So I'm only like just getting through season 3.
Okay.
I want yeah, so I'm like getting through season 3. I can't even like speak to, you know, the most spoilery stuff. I'm like doing my best to get, you know, through the Arrowverse and kind of like watching some things concurrently and stuff like that. But this show is such a fun, like I honestly think, you know, season 1 was a very different tone. And it like works a little less. But I would say that like season 1 is really great because Wentworth Miller, you know, plays a really great Captain Cold.
I love it.
And yeah. it's such a weird performance.
Yeah.
It's such a big swing, but I really did find myself by the end of the season and even still like I'm into season 3 and I'm like I actually love Heat Miser.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Heatwave. Yeah.
Heatwave.
No,
I love Heatwave.
I do too. I love
you know.
Those guys. And bringing yeah. them back from Prison Break and putting them together again is so great. It's so fun. And then he even like, I was actually just rewatching season 1 and I just got to the episode where Heatwave is revealed to be Kronos. And
right.
like, that shit is awesome. Like, they were played such a good, like, they made, like, Captain Cold and Heatwave, like, such cool characters.
I know, but the end of the season 1, you know, and also I'm like, you know, I was like, damn, Wentworth Miller is like a good actor.
Yeah,
I never
sure.
really like thought about Wentworth Miller before.
I didn't either. I love the like Godfather theme that they give him too. And I just love like the gentleman thief angle to Captain Cold.
It's so funny
yeah.
and it's so big
yeah.
and so like sort of cartoony, which is something that I like about this show too. This is,
yes.
you know, this show is a show where like, you know, Gorilla Grodd fights Barack Obama,
yes,
where they like,
yes.
where they like have to tell George Lucas to make
yeah,
Star
oh
Wars.
Oh my gosh, that was the that was like the thing I could never have imagined. You enjoy, to be honest with you, like
no,
that
I
scene where
like it to go all the way. Like no, it's cheesy.
I love
shit,
it, but yeah,
but I kind of like that. This is like a big. Like, I like a TV show to be like a TV show.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
And in fact, like, as I'm watching the Arrowverse, I'm like, wow, these are great as TV shows. They're great episodic things. They're goofy.
Of course.
You know, versus what, you know, Marvel, which I think is like movies that feel like, you know, TV.
Of course.
You know, I'm like, I'd rather just watch like big, goofy 90s sci-fi
yes.
shit or whatever. Which this show definitely absolutely fits the bill. It is almost nonsensical at times.
Absolutely. The other thing we have to keep in mind is that now, ever since the crisis, this is canonically tied into the Snyderverse and Batman
right,
versus Superman.
Right.
So we may one day see Wentworth Miller and Henry Cavill up there on the big screen
look,
together.
I actually, to be honest with you, that DC is becoming such a complicated mess that makes no sense and is very off-putting to people
yes.
that like
yes.
don't know about it. It's like exactly what it should be. Like,
I agree.
That the movie franchise is now like Zach is doing his own separate sequel to
yes.
Justice League.
Yes, well, there are two timelines.
Yeah, there's two timelines of the movies, and there's multiple timelines of the TV shows that then got like combined. It's just fucking ridiculous.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah.
So Lenny, what made you want? Why have you watched Legends of Tomorrow so many times? Like, why? What draws you to the show?
I mean, definitely a big part of it is what you're talking about how it's just so good at being a TV show. As I was rewatching it for this, I was just like, yeah, all the episodes really feel like episodes, and you can be like, oh, I love when this happened and when this happened. And yet the others, even like, I like Arrow, but whenever I'm like, you know, what's my favorite episode of Arrow? I'm like, oh, they're all just kind of like Oliver feels bad about some stuff, you know? and yeah, I love that. Like, every Legends just like feels like such a TV episode. And I love all the characters so much. Mick Lurie is amazing.
He's really good.
The URL for my DC fan Tumblr is Gay McWorry, because I love him so much.
Well, which is actually like such a funny thing. Like, I feel like this show, in a way, like, am I wrong that this show, like, you know, sort of catered to its fan base, and like that people were shipping characters and stuff? Because like, all of a sudden in season two of Legends of Tomorrow, they go to like Nazi. Is this season two or season three? Where they go to Nazi Earth, and there is gay Captain Cold.
Oh yes, this is the crossover,
like, which
episode.
Is like. Which is so great, actually. It's awesome. Like such a funny thing. And I was like, wow, this is super like pandering to people on Tumblr, but also like it super works. And I was like, this is like why comics are great.
Yeah, of course.
It's like great in that comic book way.
Yeah.
They did that in, I mean, I like what a gay show it is, but I feel like they make very weird choices sometimes where like all the like, canon gay couples, I'm like, I fucking hate this couple. I really like, I prefer like the fake gay couple I imagine between the Adam and Heatwave.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly.
Be careful what you wish for. The characters are, I think, are really great. And one thing I like about the characters, you know, not to sort of spoil it too much for people, is that it kind of like cycles through characters.
Yeah.
Like
so,
this show, like, you know, I think like, in a way that I haven't seen like a lot of modern shows do, like, is really not afraid to like get rid of like three of the core cast members like mid-season and shit.
So
like that.
When the show was announced, it was announced that every season would have a totally new cast, like that it'd be an anthology show. It was gonna be, that's why it's DC's Legends, because it was gonna
interesting.
Be every season was like they weren't even gonna be the same.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
okay.
Then they went back on that when everybody obviously loved the characters.
Like the characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I think it was designed as a one-off. That's why you see like all these big deaths and stuff that
That's also why it's funny. It's that is interesting that that's why it's called like DC's Legends of Tomorrow's, which I've always thought is like, it's just like I go to it on Plex or whatever. I'm like, that is such a strange. I have to go to D for this show. Is so strange.
I think the idea was it would be like the Brave and the Bold show or something like that, where it was like new team ups every season. And then,
interesting.
And I don't know. They kind of did a little bit. Like every season does change. And then you're going to see it becomes kind of the sequel to the Constantine show when Constantine joins.
That was interesting. Such a weird moment. Like
it changes the whole show.
I think I'm one of the only people who watched every episode of NBC's Constantine.
I was like,
there's no fucking way you're actually honoring NBC's Constantine. Yes.
And they pick up where it leaves off too. They pick up like where it leaves off with the whole all the storylines.
Berlanti and them, like I watching these shows, I'm like, I do get the kind of like too nerdy feeling like you got from like 60s DC and stuff. You know what I mean? Like it does feel like it's like they're a little over concerned with continuity in a way that is like the correct way for DC to be. You know what I mean? Like DC is supposed to like. They're supposed to have like big stupid ideas in one episode that are not supposed to be like DC is so funny with like one writer will do something just in one issue and it's just a one off thing. And then they're like, well, we have to like live with that rule forever. I'm like, whatever.
Well,
that's
that's what I like about DC. Like Marvel is just kind of goes back to zero every time. But there's all these like great storylines and things like that, which Legends as being like, has so many great characters from these comic books. It's really putting a spotlight.
So let's talk through some of the characters, and I guess let's go through, I guess, like, you know, I guess if we don't go through 4 and 5, but like, I guess let's go through the roster and kind of how they change from season to season. So in your first season, you have Captain Cold, Heatwave, White Canary, Firestorm, Dr. Palmer, I guess, right? Or the Atom.
His character was originally going to be Blue Beetle, actually.
He'd honestly be better as a Blue Beetle, but whatever.
So his whole, like, season two is, like, Ted Kord, Kord Industries' name dropped, like, through the whole season. And then you meet Ray Palmer, who's the head of Palmer right. Tech at the end. It was supposed to be Ted Kord, but then I guess at the last minute they got the no from Warner Brothers. And then they just, like, find, replace, put him in as Ray Palmer. So he's kind of, like, not... Because I love the Atom. He's one of my favorite characters, for sure. And I love this character, too, but he's grown.
No, you're right. It is, like, a weird interpretation. I've always thought it was, like, a weird version of the Atom, where he's, like, this happy-go-lucky guy
Yeah, so he's supposed to be Ted Kord. And
who else was in there in season one?
Rip Hunter.
The Hawks, which...
The Hawks, right. I have never liked the Hawk characters.
Me neither,
And this is not the maybe the biggest exception, but it's maybe the time I found them the most tolerable. I don't know. It's like I have never liked them in the comics, but it didn't like kill me in this first season of the show.
See, I felt the exact opposite. I thought this was the least I've ever liked the Hawks. And
Wow, really?
Especially when the very obvious blackface on Hawkman when they flash back to the Egyptian days, which is like not talked about ever.
It's not that cool.
And the fact it's not cool. And like they keep showing him like in like the full Egyptian garb, like just like this white guy.
I know. It's a little strange. It's a little strange.
Should have cast a person of color, I think, as Hawkman.
Yeah.
Which they did for you. The Rock did in Black Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely really hate Carter because, like, his entire personality is just, like, trying to be with Kendra when she's kind of
doesn't
like,
want
not
to.
Into it.
Yeah, I know. It is a weird relationship. Also, Carter is not, like, in the show that much. It's really more like Hawk Woman who's in that first season. Like, Carter kind of dips out a little for most of the season. So I guess maybe that's why I found it less boring is because Kendra is just a slightly more interesting character than Carter.
What is your... Did you watch Justice League Unlimited?
I did. I've watched all the Bruce Timm stuff. You know, I never really watched Brave and the Bold.
Yeah,
or
I watched
stuff,
it actually like
that.
Recently.
I've heard it's good.
It is actually, and Paul Dini like gets to go crazy in it. There's some great episodes.
Yeah. What is your history? I'm sorry, Lenny. But before the Flash series, like you said, you've got into Flash because of Glee. Did you watch any of the animated shows, or were you into comics or anything like that?
I've only read a few comics. I've seen most of the animated shows, at least a little bit. I really like Batman: The Brave and the Bold. I think the series finale of that show is like one of the best TV shows ever.
Yes, it's so good.
I gotta watch
it. Actually got me teary-eyed. And again, I'm going to kick my own ass here. But
it was weird because that was like the third episode of that show I'd seen. And I had no idea that it was the series finale. I had just started watching it. And it just like hits you so hard.
It's really
like,
good.
Oh.
Yeah, it is really good. My whole connection to Hawk Girl really comes from that show. From Justice League Unlimited. So,
yes,
I agree.
But I even kind of found Hawk Girl boring on that show. To be honest
for sure.
You.
I did. Yeah.
Of the other characters.
I'm like, she's supposed to be with Green Lantern, John Cena. No, I'm just kidding. I actually did read a little bit of like the Hawk stuff. And I know that like the Hawk World stuff is really cool. And I actually do like Hawkman. I think he's a cool character. And, but I could not stand the Hawks on Legends.
Yeah. It's funny. Their very first appearance when the Flash was like launching the spinoff at the end, like, Cisco looks at them and is like, I know he's your soulmate, but do you like each other? And then, like, their last appearance ends with McRory being like, I give them 3 months. And, so they had zero relationship development.
That's the arc.
Just from that to that.
That's the arc, they still don't seem like they like each other.
Don't they just kind of, like, fly off into the distance at the end?
They kind of just are at the end of one season being like, we won't come back next time.
No, they
goodbye.
Won't. Everybody hates. And they haven't been back.
Was.
They have not
they
been
haven't
back. Been, I will confirm.
Wow.
Spoiler. That's the last we see of both of them.
That's fine with me. That's a fine spoiler for me to know.
I am sort of a season one apologist. I get like why people find it less interesting, but I do think it was a much more like earnest season that like I felt like that season like genuinely cared about these characters. And other times I got a little frustrated because it did sort of this thing that like Riverdale did and CW is kind of guilty of a lot of just being like, oh, people like that. We'll just do whatever and nothing matters. And it's like, know. Right. I like really cared about this, and that's why I was watching.
I mean, I definitely, Lenny, getting into like season three, I'm starting to feel like that. It starts feeling a little like frivolous and like truly like even like when you get into like the like, you know, the Time Bureau and all this shit, it starts.
Season three, I feel like the way they treated Rip really made me angry. Yeah. It felt like, you know, the late seasons of The Office when the writers were clearly like mad at Ed Helms. That was kind of the feeling I got from season three with Rip.
Yeah. And did you see how, well, I don't want to spoil anything for Jack, but the way they treated Brandon Ralph, I was not a fan. I love Brandon Ralph.
You can feel free to spoil. I don't care. So, you know, we're doing a show about this.
So they like wrote him off the show. The rumor was because of his salary. And his character just like automatically like gets married and gets off the show. But he publicly was like tweeting out like, I have no idea why they write me off the show. I love like this is my family up here. I don't want to leave.
Wow,
and then in
bummer.
The episode, they make him time travel and talk to Shakespeare, who as a writer explains to him why some characters need to die and why he should just trust the writer. And that it's this so monologue annoying. Where he looks at the camera and is like, the writers are always right.
That
some
is so
characters
annoying.
Gotta die.
Wow.
And then
Jesus
he
Christ.
Left. And yeah, I love Brandon Routh. I'm hoping he gets his
that's
own
a sickness.
Superman movie.
The writer shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's really sad. He did this like interview after talking about it. And like, first of all, he like thought he was going to be the main character of the show.
Yes. Yeah. Which makes total sense because he's like the biggest. I mean,
he's like a movie star.
Yeah.
He was Superman.
Yeah.
And he sounds like Ray Palmer when he's talking about it. He was just like, oh, yeah, I thought I was going to be the lead, but I guess I'm not. So that's fine. I'm just like being funny with McRory. And
he seems like a great guy. And I loved his when they brought him back to play Superman again. He was so cool. Good. Like, he talked about his, like, World of Warcraft addiction and all that. Like, Brandon Routh rules.
Wow.
Superman Returns made him get addicted to World of Warcraft.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. It's a whole thing he'll talk about on podcasts.
Season one, it's hard for me to say that it truly is the worst because, like, you know, Captain Cold is in there, and also season three seems to be pretty fucking stupid, too. And also, you know, I will say that, like, as it's continuing, it does start to feel like getting into season three, I was like, oh, Damian Dark is like the villain again in this show. Like, I was like, kind of interesting. I was like, oh, so it's some guy from Arrow in season two. That's kind of interesting. And then, like, halfway through three, it's like the villain. Here's the big reveal. It's like the same guy.
Right.
As last time.
Yeah. They get so into Damian Dark and I think like genuinely treat him better than Rip Hunter that season.
I agree.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they even like make him like a good guy in that season. Yeah.
Well, it's really weird because he, I don't know like at what point you're on an Arrow. I think they talk about this in Legends, so I can say this. He killed Laura Lance, Sarah's sister.
Right. Yeah. They talk about it all the time. Yeah.
It's very frustrating that, the only rule of time travel in the entire universe that they stick to is that you cannot fix Laurel's death.
Yeah.
That's like
just
one
Laurel.
Thing.
Only Laurel.
And then, so then making Damian like this enjoyable character who we're supposed to kind of love is frustrating because it feels like Sarah can't even like properly stay mad at him. Like, not only can she not change her past, she can't even be like, the guy who killed my sister is a bad guy.
Right.
It comes off, I think, like, very weird.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Vandal Savage as a villain?
I like Vandal Savage. In comic books, always thought of him as a much larger man.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that they cast for Vandal Savage is just kind of like a just sort of normal guy, it seems like.
Yeah.
But I do like Vandal Savage as a villain.
They kind of did the same thing with Rip Hunter. When I looked up that character, I was like, why did they cast like a 90-pound man, which like I loved. It made me like feel very affectionate for him that he's so tiny, but it's a funny joke.
I think it's partially because in the comic books, everyone is just like the size of Atlas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every single comic book character is just the most large man you've ever seen in
that's
your life.
And he's also like a Neanderthal kind of guy. Yeah. Like he's like a big caveman.
Yeah, that is the thing with Vandal Savage, though, is that, he's supposed to be a Neanderthal, you know.
It's a cool villain to pick for a time travel story, for sure.
Yeah, I thought Vandal Savage worked really well. In season one, you know, it does get a little, like, dour and over-serious, but, like, I also felt like the plot for as ridiculous, I mean, time travel plots will sort of never really make like full sense or anything like that. But season one felt like it was at least the most concerned with like trying to appear like it made a semblance of sense or something like that.
I feel like that's the season where at the ending I'm like, yeah, that was like a good story.
That's a season of
the
show.
The others, you can really tell they're like flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. No, there's no way that they knew what was, was going to happen.
It's also, I think this is probably like a budget thing, but like more and more they start solving all their problems with like rhetoric and just like talking to the bad guy. And so like, when I was rewatching season one for this, I was like, oh yeah, this used to have like fight scenes.
No, season one is really different. I've been actually enjoying it. And they also have these great like one-off time travel things, like with McRory being Kronos the whole time and like... I just watched the episode where they get stuck in the 50s for 2 years.
That's so like, good.
Oh, that one's kind of cool. That one's cool.
Stranding them in the 50s worked really well because shows like that always like rush the relationships and you're always like, they're getting engaged now. That makes no fucking sense. So like having it literally be like, well, we just missed 2 years.
Yeah.
I thought that worked pretty well, actually.
I liked how one thing I thought was clever when because for a long time they were announcing like a Justice Society show or something. And then in the next season when they brought in the Justice Society that they were actually from the 40s. I thought that was like a cool like time travel thing that they could do certain characters as period pieces.
It just does feel like, you know, I know they've tried it a lot in the comics, but the Justice Society really only works if it's like during World War II. You know what I mean? Like you can make them super old in present day or whatever and say that they've like lived for whatever fucking fake comic reason or whatever. But every time they try to be like, and then there was the Justice Society that started at the same time as the Justice League or like 10 years before in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Right.
It
never
really worked.
I will say what you're going to now, if you're diving into the Arrowverse, you will have to watch Stargirl now because it's moving to the CW, which you're going to hate, I think.
Stargirl? Well, I mean, it's the Geoff Johns one, too. I don't even... Geoff Johns is annoying
That's
to
the
me,
problem, because this is the Geoff Johns show, essentially. But I know it's based on his late sister, and they use, like, her child photos for Courtney's child photos.
Oh, my God.
And then it's, like, every episode is, like, you're going to really hate it.
Jesus,
it's very
that's
Geoff
too
Johns.
Much. That's not
but
okay.
But anyway, they did a good Justice Society, I thought, on The Long Way of...
On that show?
Stargirl, But I like this Legends Justice Society. Fun fact, when the character at the end comes out who is revealed to be Our Man, Rex Tyler, he's the guy from Suits. The guy from Suits was told he was playing Green Lantern. And that character was supposed to be Alan Scott. But then when they were wrapped filming, they were told they couldn't do it. So they just changed it. And then they just dropped his whole storyline.
Yeah, that's like a huge moment for the season ender. And then you like wait 3 months and it does not matter at all.
He's like, it's like they're doing something else. And then they go back to it. And he's like, all right, well, see ya.
Yeah, it never pays off. And they just drop it completely. So yeah, they were totally like flying by the seat of their pants for this. They had no idea what they're doing. But I think it kind of works that way.
I think it kind of ends up being like a fun series that feels like TV, you know, that does feel like goofy and kind of one off in a way that I found appealing. Like, you know, I'm watching Supergirl also. I think Supergirl is pretty good, although there's like, there is a big drop off between basically when they went to go shoot the show in Canada.
Right.
You know, you can tell that it's in Canada in season two. And I'm like, oh, this is a CW show now. This is not on the premier TV network, CBS, the number one ratings getter in the world.
Well, now I think the CW is the place to be. What other jobs in Hollywood are like 10 seasons?
I know, and you get all these crossover episodes.
Yeah, you get
to
do all the crossover. Yeah, because Stephen Amell gets paid per like character he plays and stuff. Like he does like all these different weird deals where he gets like paid a lot.
That's
more.
So funny. So like when he plays like Dark Arrow,
he gets paid for like 2 episodes. All
that's
this crazy
so
stuff.
Funny.
Yeah. He's the man. He doesn't really seem to give a shit about it. Anyways, he's just like into wrestling and stuff.
He's such a like nerd about TV stuff. Like he has like weird observations about like the ratings of Hung, the HBO show he was on. And I'm like, this is interesting statistics, but I just like didn't expect it from a hot guy.
One of my wife's friends, her husband, is like childhood friends with Stephen Amell. And so when we went to their wedding, Stephen Amell was there. So Arrow was just like at the wedding. And he was like whatever, everyone was like, wow, that's a TV guy or whatever. But, you know, so Arrow is just, I was at a wedding with Arrow one time.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we all shared communal wedding food at one time.
You guys had Danielle Panabaker on Mitch Live.
That's right. And Daniel Panabaker from The Flash we had on Mitch
How
Live
did
as well.
How did that come to be, if you don't mind me asking?
I think that Van's wife knows her or something.
Yeah. Now, that was before. So, you know, before you
That was before I
show.
Really knew who she was, to be honest with you.
She kind of gets
Now that I watched the show.
God, I know.
Now, Lenny, have you been involved with any of the crazy Daniel Panabaker and... the actress who plays Iris West drama that
Candace
is going
Patton.
On? Candace Patton?
No, I don't know.
So there's this like crazy, I don't really know if I'm going to quote this right, but there's this like crazy subreddit that is convinced that the two of them hate each other. And wow. that, like, Daniel Panabaker's, like, a racist or something.
And well, that's just probably not true.
I don't know the whole thing. But it's all because, like, Barry kisses Caitlin. They think that that makes, like, Daniel Panabaker. I think I may be instigating
wow.
something. It's just,
that is really funny.
It's a crazy thing on this.
Wow,
on this
wild.
I don't know the full story of it. But I would have asked her on Mitch Live.
Yeah, if only Mitch had known about this particular subreddit. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fun show. I think if you're, you know, interested in, you know, the larger Arrowverse, this is a fine one to start with, to be honest with you. It's the most TV show-ish, and I think it also kind of gives you like a little sampler platter of the other shows as you go along. So
I also think you can just watch the crossover episodes, to be honest. Like, the crossovers do a good job of catching you up with everybody, I think.
You think people can just watch the crossover
episodes?
I think episodes
if you know
caught up on
Arrowverse. If you know the comics, like, and you know, mm-hmm. oh, that's Green Arrow, that's Flash, that's Firestorm, then I don't think you'd have any problem just jumping into the crossovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the show, you know, is fun, and it's like, you know, it's kind of in the same way that it's like I like Batman versus Superman for being sort of appropriately, you know, schlocky and comic booky. I think right. that like the Arrowverse also kind of hits that sort of sweet spot of schlocky and comic booky.
What shows do you have next?
So I am currently still on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm watching Supergirl, as I said, with my wife, and I'm kind of trying to watch them in order. So I will be dipping back into Flash, basically, because I've like gotten ahead on Legends of Tomorrow. And then I don't really know the release order, but I'm going to go by release order on, you know, Black Lightning and then, you know, Stargirl and, you know, Batwoman. I don't remember exactly what the order. And then I want to watch the new Superman show.
Yes.
That's coming on HBO Max with whatever that guy, the little guy who
the
they have
guy,
play
yeah.
Superman.
There's like a gif of like Brandon Routh Superman just like holding him against a wall. Have you seen that one?
That's really funny.
Yeah, I've like That's posted really it once to Leslie where he was like, there was some like alt-centrist person talking to him, and I put it up with that guy's account as the
That's
little
really
Superman
funny.
And Leslie is the big Superman.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's a fun show. Where would you both recommend people start if they were going to, you know, start with Arrowverse or even start with Legends of Tomorrow?
I think probably watch some of like the standout episodes. I think Here I Go Again in season 3 is just like a really great TV episode that is kind of an example of what that is, of like what Legends is. It's another really good Freaks and Greek in season 5.
Oh, yeah.
I love that episode.
Yeah,
oh,
a
I,
great example
of
how fun it
gets.
Actually, this season 5 might be my favorite
season.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised. Because
that's good to hear, because I was like, three's a little bit whack, but...
Four, I think, is actually, four has some good stuff in it, too.
Yeah, it has good stuff, but it's definitely, I think, the worst. Like, I got pretty frustrated during it.
And the season 5, I actually like a lot. It's kind of went back a little more to, like, single episodes, like the TV episode and the one where the Son of Sam Dog comes on the Wave Rider.
That's so
good. That was
good.
Such a good episode, yeah.
Encore's idea, they basically found a way to combine the supernatural fantasy stuff with the history stuff, and it worked really well. I kind of hope all the future seasons just continue being like season 5, because they try to like reboot the show too much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have aliens coming in the next season, which I don't want to spoil much, but there's a lot of speculation there on these subreddits about who these alien races are going
to
be.
It's an exciting time to be an Arrowverse fan. This is part of the reason why I got into it, is because I'm like, it just feels like there's so much going on with the Arrowverse, and I'm like, they're not doing anything with comics or anything, so I feel like I gotta. If I'm going to get some DC, this seems like the one where there's anything happening at all anyway.
It reminds me of kind of like Degrassi, where yes. there's just like sure. so much of it to get into and learn about. And that really appeals to me. And yeah, you get like so emotional, like during the crossovers and stuff, when you see them being like basically the Justice League, or they go to like all the different Earths and are like, Titans is an Earth. I don't know why
and,
that's so.
Robert Knoll from Batman 1989 Batman is it at the
yeah it's so exciting. Even if I like don't really like the show, like Titans, I wasn't that into, but I'm like, oh, they're part of the same universe. It's right. just like, very enjoyable. It.
That's how I watched. Had to watch three seasons of Lucifer.
this I think that's I think this is good for the first sort of entry in this look at the Arrowverse. You know, I'm going to continue to watch. You both are such prestige experts on it. I may have to ask one or both of you back at some point for another one of the series.
Only thing, I really care about out there. these Arrowverse shows.
Well, you know, talking to people who really know their shit about the Arrowverse is really good. Is there anything you'd like to plug or promote, before we say goodbye?
My podcast is called Chapter Surfing. I talk with people about books, about TV shows and the books that they're based on. And it comes out once a month. It goes on my Patreon the first of the month, which you can find if you search for Lenny Burnham, and then like a couple weeks later is wherever you get your podcast.
Hell yeah. And you're on Twitter, right?
Yes, at Lenny Burnham.
There we go. And Jack,
I can people find you? I'm at JJ Bills with a Z on Twitter. You can check out Chop Chop Chang Operation Chimp on Amazon if you want. It's a little student film I made with Jack Allison.
I'm in it for a short for a moment. Yeah.
If you want. I haven't actually watched it in a long time. It's probably not very good. and I also wrote some stuff for Macaulay Culkin's website, bunnyears.com. If you want to go there, you can check it out.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you later.